To be alive. What an exciting time, and at the same time, what a challenging time. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, as we go back to Genesis 1, you have my notes there. It says, in the beginning, when the Lord was creating all that he wanted to create, he saved the most precious time for creating humanity, you and I, man and woman. And he created them, and he says, let's make them, as he talked to, as Travis shared about the Trinity, Elohim, let us make man and woman in our image, in our likeness and fondness. And what we need to realize is once we're made in his image and likeness, he just didn't leave us there. He says, we're going to give that group that we've created, and he saw into the future, he saw you and I. He says, let them multiply. Let's let them subdue. Let them have the authority to have dominion over every living thing that is on this planet. That is pretty unique. That not only did God create us, but then he said, now go and dominate your areas. And we had that mandate. Now, we do know Adam gave it up. But we also know that when Jesus came to the cross and died, he said, whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved, shall receive that same proclamation that happened in the garden, that we would rule and reign and have dominion as long as we exercise what we all get at salvation. And so today we stand filled with the authority to subdue and to have dominion over our neighborhoods, over our cities, over our nation. And there is no weapon that the enemy can purpose that the Lord has not already stopped as long as we exercise what he's already given us all, that authority and that dominion here on earth. When we get to heaven, we won't worry about it. But it's down here that we rule and we reign. And so if you've got loved ones not serving the Lord, you've got the authority and the dominion within you to take authority over their situations and bind the god of this world. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, he blinds even believers from the truth. There is an all-out attack, even believers with believers, not because we're not on the same page, but because he instills division. A house divided, he knows, can't stand. He works overtime to bring division to your biological family, but also to your spiritual family. And yet at the same time, we're sitting like dynamite kegs full of the kingdom if we would release what we already get and have because of what he did on the cross. I find it interesting, church, in Proverbs 29:2, the Bible says when the righteous men and women of God are in authority, it says the people are going to rejoice. It didn't say just Christians were going to rejoice. It says people will rejoice. Now, in the Hebrew, very important that we understand the word rejoice. Everybody say this after me. Samach. Samach is the Hebrew word for rejoice in the Old Testament. Let me tell you what the essence of that is. The essence of Samach means to brighten up, to cheer up, to make glad, to make merry, to make gleesome. So when righteous men and women of God take authority over their communities and they take authority over their homes and their families, it says the people are brightened up, cheered up, made glad, and are gleesome. So if we're looking at sadness, or if we're looking at a messed up church family out there, we need to do our part because we've been made righteous. Amen. Isaiah says our righteousness is filthy rags, but because of what Jesus did for us, we take on his righteousness. We are righteous because of Jesus, and because of that, if we will implement what we already got in us, we will see people getting merry, brightening up, getting cheerful, and happy. We are responsible for that dimension. If we choose to abdicate that, which means not release it, then we can't expect the results. The farmer that goes out and says, I want corn, but never plants the corn, even though we'll say God gave him all the bags of seed, if he never plants that seed, is it going to produce a harvest? We can pray and we can have faith, oh, bag of seeds, produce a harvest. It's never going to happen because God has given us all authority to take that authority and take that seed and plant that seed. And as we plant that seed and water that seed, he promises a harvest. So our country may look like it's in turmoil. It may look like we're undone. I'm here to tell you that if God would save Sodom and Gomorrah with all their nonsense and junk going on for just 10, we got a whole lot more than 10 righteous men and women of God. The difference is what we have got to do as righteous men and women of God, we can't abdicate our roles, and we need to begin, if you haven't already, to take authority over the principalities and the powers of darkness. We will not be prideful in this, but we will exercise what God has said. We're not going to, just because we haven't had any certain types of viruses hit this congregation, we don't take it for granted, but we will not grow weary in standing in the gap, praying that the COVID-19 virus will not enter our people, and we come against that spirit because he's given us authority to do that. The government doesn't give us that authority. Man doesn't give us that authority. But Jesus gave it to us when he says, I'm going to give them authority to subdue and to dominate and to take back what's already theirs. This earth no longer belongs to the enemy. It belongs to the kingdom of God. And we are taking back what rightfully belongs to us in Jesus' name. So are you into brightening some people up? Are you into making people be cheerful? Please, church, whatsoever you hear and hear and hear is going to affect you. If you're focusing on the junk and the nonsense, you're going to become part of that. Not because you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven sad. God wants us to go to heaven happy and cheerful. Remember, let me just go back to one of the two spies that chose to believe what God said. Joshua. I love Joshua. I love Caleb too. Joshua, we know, took Jericho. We understand that. But Joshua laid it out because he understood what the God of the Bible had promised. And Joshua said it like this, Joshua 1:8. He says, I'm going to speak and mutter the word day and night. Now, first of all, he had to know what it said, didn't he? And same way with us. We got our bag of seeds, but if we don't know what the seeds consist of, we're not going to release that seed, right? It's already ours, but to get the fruit of the seed, we've got to do our part. So when we release that seed, Joshua says that because he'll meditate and do what's written in there, he says he was going to cause himself to succeed. Now, we can say, how cocky could he be? He's going to cause himself. I thought God did. Let's not get into false humility. When we realize that we have been placed here to have dominion, to rule and reign, it's okay to rule and reign. Amen. That's what we were created to do, and God is excited when we do it. So he knew, and I'm telling you all, we cause ourselves to succeed or not. Not for heaven. Jesus, we're saved by grace, not works. No man can boast, but we have been created in Christ Jesus for the good works. When we plant good works, we reap good harvest. And that's the authority that God has given the church. America's not going down. We're not going to go for that slanted dimension. Our Constitution that was based on Judeo-Christian principles is intact because the believers of God saw with a prophetic voice, even though they weren't living in it at the time, this is very important that we stand. Having done all, stand and take authority over the circumstances. Thank God we're still in that, and we have four fathers and mothers that prayed us to this place so that Paul could get up and tell the church at Philippi, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Do you believe that, church, today? Amen. That you can do all things? If you do believe that, turn to Romans chapter 8. And let me begin. Thank you, Jesus. Paul ministering to the Christians at Rome. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 18 because I believe it's pertinent to what we're going through in this day and hour. And this is what Paul said. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Now hold your thought, look at me. Come on now. What did the prophet Isaiah say that there was coming a time, Isaiah 60, he says darkness would cover the earth, gross darkness would be on the people, but what did he tell the church? Arise and shine, for the manifested presence is going to get on you, and they're going to run to you because what you have is Jesus. Up, new covenant. The glory which shall be revealed in us means every believer in here has the Holy Ghost. And if you want it to be revealed in you, we got to release what we already have. Right. For creation, for earnest expectation of creation, is waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Look at me again. If the Lord created us and gave us dominion over everything that is created, every living thing, can you now understand why all creation, including people, are waiting for the sons and daughters to see who they are and take authority over their areas? The peril of what's happened, the destruction that's happened, the responsibility falls upon the church that's the only ones that have been given authority over everything that creeps, every creep, but every created thing on earth we have the authority over. But if we don't exercise it, it never gets planted. And we know Jesus says we are like sowers that plant the word of God. We understand that concept. So we go on. Verse 21, because creation itself is going to be delivered by the next government of America. By us being really good and being friendly and loving to everybody. Now, that might be offspring of it, but it says, because creation itself is going to be delivered from bondage of corruption into a glorious freedom by the children of God. All creation has been waiting for us in our time. It's our time, church. It's our time to rise and shine and realize all authority is in us, to take authority over our families, our homes, our community, our city. And you know I declare as Saginaw goes, so goes this region. Saginaw is going for Jesus. Why? Because righteous men and women of God are declaring it. And when we saw that video a couple weeks ago where we showed it and it says, God's not done with us yet. There's still more work. Yes, there is. Until he comes back, we are to maintain and rule and reign in this area in which you're planted. Don't worry about the rest of the world. You got enough to focus on this area that God planted you in. If God sent me to a different city, that would be where I'd be focused. But this is my community. That's your community. This is the area God places. Do you understand why nobody can get a big head? Because I can't say, I pray deliverance for Tokyo, Japan. I'm not in Tokyo, Japan. The Christians of that area have to take authority. I am planted in Saginaw Valley. I have a responsibility to rule and reign in this region and to rally the believers to stand up and take back what already is ours. And then as believers in other communities begin to do that, nobody gets a big head because there isn't anybody conquering the whole thing. Praying for world peace is ridiculous. You pray for peace in your region where you have dominion and authority. Wherever your feet shall tread, that's your dominion. Amen. That's your authority. And our feet tread in this valley. So this valley belongs to Jesus. Why? Because of shield of faith? Yeah, part of it. But there's a whole lot of other believers in other congregations. Some are meeting today, others aren't meeting. But I'm telling you, there are brothers, there are sisters, and we're on the same team. And the enemy loses because he's already lost when Jesus went to the cross. So, verse 22, for we know all creation is groaning and laboring and birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's a capital S. We that have the Holy Ghost. When did we get the Holy Ghost? When we got saved. He's in us. We are the first fruits. We're calling in so there's more first fruits. even we ourselves are groaning and travailing, eagerly waiting for the adoption. Now listen, this is so important for you to get this morning. Eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. When you got saved, your spirit got changed. You became a new creation. Your body did not get changed. If you were tall, short, heavy, skinny, you still were. Amen? Your soul didn't get changed other than you surrendered to Jesus. The soulish realm, the thinking, has to get changed by the Word of God. The reason why all creation is waiting for the redemption of their body, because there is coming a time when we will have glorified bodies that will not have pain or aging or tumors or cancer. So what do we do until then? We declare and we take authority over those, because the Bible says these signs will follow believers. We have been given the mandate, but our bodies are still dictated because we still live on earth. We can still get sick. We can still have issues. It does not send us to hell. So if somebody's thinking, oh, I just thought, oh my gosh, I was bad, or I had impure thoughts today. Oh, am I really saved? Yes, you're saved because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Your body isn't redeemed yet, and neither is your mind. It's getting renewed. That's why we have church, to rally and encourage you to stand and understand the Word so you can understand more of the benefits you already have. So if you've gone with sickness and you've dealt with areas that have plagued you, don't give up. Grow not weary. We're still praying for the miracles, but your bodies are crying out. Can't wait until the adoption of the redemption of our bodies. So some of you that think you're over the hill, you need to realize we're thinking about 30, 33 would be a good age for us all to end up at, right? The kid says, oh no, those are old ages. But isn't that exciting? That's our God that created us and gave us dominion. And realize, so your bodies are still crying out. They can't wait until they don't have to worry about what they eat. They don't have to worry about on whether or not they got high blood pressure, whether or not they got diabetes. We do take authority down here. Hooking up to a wellness group is very beneficial, you know, keeping your heart going, all that. But I'm telling you, there's coming a time. It's not going to matter whether or not you can run 10 miles, 20 miles, or whether or not you can do 6,000 push-ups. You're going to get a redeemed body that can just do everything. Amen. And won't that be fun? No more striving to kind of keep ourselves going. Someone said, well, that's not a striving. Well, whatever it is, Americans are pretty challenged in that area. And Pastor Mike says, amen. So this body needs to be transformed. And that's why we're also crying out. Has anybody felt like lately we're crying out, God, all of this we're going through. My gosh, you said if you delayed your coming, even the elect would be deceived. God, I know you're not going to delay your coming, but help me get a handle of what I'm supposed to be doing until you come back. And let me be encouraged. Our role to come to church on Sundays or to be in Bible studies during the week is just to encourage you to keep on keeping on. One of our foundation scriptures is, don't grow weary in well-doing. In due season you shall reap if you faint not. But I like the other part of it. As you have opportunities, do good to all. But especially, listen, especially those of the household of faith. We need to be looking for double time to be able to bless the household of faith. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. Ephesians 6, Pastor Mike was touching on one of the very significant parts the last couple weeks in this belt of truth. The belt of truth is the Word of God. We realize that, and we have to know the Word of God. Just because you get saved, it isn't hocus pocus, and we know everything that's in here, do we? But we knew once we get saved, we have the capability with the Holy Ghost. We need not any man teach us, but the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Now as we open up, we can learn. Look at me, church. It is not an easy route to be a pastor. And the enemy works overtime to try to take us out. You're a pastor of your families. We had you stand and pray for them. Do you know that we need to be encouraged just like anybody else? Yes, sir. You know, sometimes when I haven't heard from different people, I say, geez, maybe you ought to check us out. Face. Well, I do, but I never hear anything. Someone says, oh, you don't. What, we don't want you to get a big head, so we're not going to tell you we were blessed. I need to hear some of the good stuff that you get ministered to. I know Pastor Mike, he may not say this, but he needs to know that you're touched and blessed because you spend all week trying to hear from God, trying to bring a message, and it's very easy to focus on something you don't like or you don't agree with. Let me just tell you that. There are no two people in here that see everything exactly the same way. So when I have people call me back in the back office and I have for years chew me out and I lose all respect, I respect you no more, Pastor. And yet, before that time, it seemed like they were being blessed. It's amazing how people can let the enemy use something and just divide them, disconnect from all the good. I'm telling you and those that are listening, don't you dare stop criticizing others. Stop putting down. Focus on the good. Glean what you can. If you don't like certain ministries, you don't have to set under that ministries. I was telling Pastor Mike, we may only be 100 people. I don't dictate that. Nobody else. I know it's not easy. We don't bring an easy message. We think it's easy. But what we bring is a challenging message. We challenge you to grow and to be more. And I'm telling you, there's times we'll step on your feet. But I'm telling you, Pastor Mike does not do it intentionally. I don't do it intentionally. Pastor Randy doesn't do it intentionally. But it happens. And if you haven't encouraged those that have brought you the word, maybe even in your Bible study, I'm encouraging you to let people know that areas have been blessing you. Because it's very easy to just focus when you don't like something. The enemy wants to split us up, and I say, take a stand, no way. So we put on the whole armor of God, and once we've got it all on, we pray at all occasions and in every season in the Spirit. We're praying. We're interceding on behalf of others. Everybody say it's about others. Look with me, if you would, to James. Let me show you how it's becoming manifest in the body of Christ. Paul was training up James as James now is taking a leadership role and he's sharing the word of God. And this is what it says, and I'm going to begin reading chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. I think I gave this in your notes. If I didn't, I'm sorry. Believers, let not many of you become teachers. Listen, not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. What I'm saying is my wife had to leave being around here day in and day out because it was so challenging and it was so people were criticizing this and that. This is 30 years. And so many people hook up. It's the greatest thing since pumpkin pie. And then something steps on toes. The next thing all they hear is what they want to look to that's negative. That's why most people can't fill this office. It doesn't make me more important. It just tells me that I'm wired. My wife says, you just let it go over your head. I do let it go over my head because that's survival. But I'm telling you that are listening, please don't be part of the process of harm. We got enough things going on in our country than you taking a stand against some little something that you want to make a difference. I'm telling you, thank God most of you are not pastors. And those that are need to pray for your pastors. Pray for the teachers and evangelists and apostles and those that bring the word and the prophets, knowing it's not an easy route. There's a greater judgment. More people want to tell you what they think. I'm looking for some people that will continuously tell us that they're blessed. Thank you, Pastor, for laboring over that. Thank you, that ministered to me. And if you don't think you need it, God created us to be encouraged. It says encourage one another as we see that time approach. Every one of you need to be encouraged. Every one of you need to be told that you're a blessing. And if you're not doing it in your family, start it. Begin it. Where was I? Verse 2. For we all, we all stumble in many things. We all. Guess what? I'm going to stumble. You still got to love me. I had a minister one time tell me this, and I'm going to single him out, but says, Pastor, yeah, I love you. I'm behind you until you say something I don't like, and then I'm out of here. And I says, that's not what I want. I want you going to say, Pastor, I'll war for you if there's something in there. I want to stand in the gap and bleed for you. Not the first time I step on your toes, you're out of here. Amen. We may stay small, but it'll be mighty. Yes. We will not compromise. Yeah. We will go after it. And I will share my revelations how I see it. If they're not your revelations, shelf it. But don't criticize. Yes. Unless I'm saying something that's not Bible, like, not going there. We'll save that for Pastor Mike in a couple of weeks. I love my son, I do. And everything he said, I love. You're a blessing. All right, verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses and mouths that they obey us, and we turn their whole bodies. We do ships, but little rudder changes it. Verse 5. Even so, this tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. See how great a forest little fire can kindle. Now, I don't have to go back to Proverbs to let you know that death and life are in the power of what? The tongue. And those that love whatever it is are going to reap from it. I'm here to tell you that your tongues are very powerful. Because it's going to tell you that. But a little fire of criticism or gossip, it catches. Next thing you know, you got a whole group of people all riled up over something that's not all that significant. I'm sorry. If Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we're going to see different things. I'm tired. I've gone through this too long. Well, I believe in baby baptism. There's nothing wrong with baby baptism. I believe that once you're a believer, you get. But if you get baby baptized and later get baptized, let's not make that be the defining moment. Well, I don't think we should have to go and go to a confessional and confess our faults. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. I'm going to encourage you to confess your faults to one another. You don't have to go, but don't make that be a major thing. Yes. If you don't speak in tongues, it's okay. I do. Yes. Don't make that be a big thing. Thank God. Good word, Pastor. The tongue is a fire, a world of sin. The tongue is so set among our members, I'm in verse 6, it can defile the whole body. It can change the whole course of nature. It can set a fire of hell. That's this tongue. Every kind of beast, bird, reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and by mankind. Why is it? Because who did he give rule and reigning and dominion? We, the body of Christ. No man, here you go, no man can tame their tongue. It's an unruly evil. We work at it, we get better at it, but I want to go back to verse 2. We all stumble in many things. Yes, sir. Remember that when you're quick to point out, you're not perfect either. Look in the mirror, and you're going to mess up too. And if you're focusing on something you disagree with, I'm sorry, I still love you, and I believe the best for you. But I believe what God is releasing here is good. In Jesus' name. No man can tame it. Thank God we got a Holy Ghost that lives in us, that helps us. With it, listen, with this tongue, James isn't talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to the Christians. With this tongue, we bless our God and Father. And with this same tongue, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. When I first got hungry to get in the Word of God and I began to study, my wife and I began to seek, and we would glean from a lot of different authors. But one type we could not get into was we'd be listening and somebody was really good, and when they begin to criticize and point out all the flaws in everybody else, that was it. They had good stuff, but they wanted to focus all their time. I'm telling you, don't hang out with people that all they want to do is find faults with every type of ministry that's not perfect. We need to be people that study the Word to get our own revelation, but we need to be encouraged to that, know that we all stumble in many things. And if you never stumble, get ready. Pride cometh before what? Yeah. All right. Onward. For with this, we bless our God the Father, and with that same tongue we curse men who have been made in His image. Out of this same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things should not be so. If he said life and death is in the power of the tongue, And we literally have been given authority to have dominion and subdue the earth. Don't you think it's key that we watch what we're saying about other believers? If you ever tell me that you hear me criticizing any other church or any other believer, you call me on it, because I never will. I don't see things exactly how they see things, but I know that they love Jesus, and I know they're going to spend eternity with me, and I don't want to have to face them up in heaven and say, yeah, I pointed out to all the believers all the things that you were doing wrong. Because I'm humble enough to realize all of us stumble in lots of things. We're doing the best we can. We're trying to equip the body of Christ. Keep reminding yourself the same grace Jesus showed you on the cross, give it to others. Mercy and grace. And realize we can't control this, but the Holy Ghost can help us. Enemy working overtime, trying to divide us. Listen to me, and I'm going to nitpick a little bit. The enemy got Christians upset at churches. I remember a church in Florida that opened up and didn't go into quarantine, and it wasn't the enemy of the world. It was Christians. I can't believe that. You know, here we separate as best we can. People wear masks. They don't wear masks. We don't make that an issue. We give you the space and the comfort to do what you feel you have to do, but I'm telling you, don't criticize others. There are pastors, and I'm going to tell you this, there are some pastors of good-sized works that I love. They're not even open yet. And I remember one particular pastor, and I'm not going to mention because it's a very large work. He says, Pastor, you don't know how tough it is. I got these telling me we're cowards, we need to open. I got these says, you better not. See, I think with the more people you add to a congregation, the more challenges you got. Maybe the Lord, if we just keep being direct and challenged, we won't have 500 oppositions. Because I'm telling you, I'm not on Facebook because I can't watch that, because I see people taking stances that are stupid stances. And I tell them, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to know that about cussing, using swear words. And I don't want to see that. I'm believing the best. I'm believing you want to subdue and dominate this community, and you want to take authority, and you're not going to enter into that nonsense that the world's there. But I'm telling you, our biggest enemy is not the world. Oh, yeah, we know it's Satan, and we can say it's us, but our biggest enemy is the church. Because the enemy knows Christians can annihilate other Christians. If we point out all the things we don't like at one another, we get them all right. Now, let me just tell you this. Pastor had it 700 and some a couple weeks ago, and he was very strong in love. One person was very upset with me over this whole thing. Do you think that's easy, even though you get 700 positive things, if you get someone that just wants to annihilate you? Do you think that's easy? Do you think that makes sleep? I'm here to tell you that we're human. We think on that. We stay up and we don't sleep. It's so easy to loose venom on other believers. I'm telling you, put a watchman on our tongues and on your thoughts. If you don't like, if you don't like a church, you know when you come here and someone will tell us, like the Taylors told us, that this is where we feel we're to be. We're not looking for them to criticize where they went. They were blessed for years where they went. Yep. And so should we be. And whatever the upbringing that you had, we didn't choose who we'd be born to. We didn't choose the hard times or the easy times that we would have. But God foresaw and he equipped us, and he knew he was going to get us saved, and he knew he'd get you here. And the reason why you're here, I believe, is because you're learning how to rule and to reign here in Saginaw, just like it's going to be in heaven. Amen. And don't beat yourself up, but please, church, don't criticize others. Next week, I'm bringing a very important message. It's called Judgment. I'm tired of people not understanding really what judging is all about. And there's a difference between judging the world and judging the church. And you're going to see the clarity of that, because it's time we grow up. Amen. and realize we do have a responsibility to be strong and take authority and rule and reign. And at the same time, we need to understand when it says we're doing that, that we're not judging others in that fashion. Amen? Stay tuned next week. I want to close this morning by encouraging you this. If you're to rule and reign, and because when you take authority in your household and in your area, there's a cheerfulness that's released, there's a happiness that's released, let me ask you and encourage you, are you every day in your time at home buying in the God of this world off your family and off your community? And if you are, that's great, but if you're not, start doing it. If you have spiritual darkness that's approaching, or maybe you live in a community that has a bunch of lawlessness, you bind the spirit of lawlessness and loose the peace and safety. Why? Because you're as important as any other believer in here. You got the same kingdom within, you got the same ruling and reigning within, but you got to release it if you want to see the fruits of it. And we can do it. Remember one of the first things the Lord God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost says, let's make them in our image and let them multiply. It's not just biologically multiplying. It's the Paul to Timothy. Look you out, faithful men and women that will take what they've learned, turn around and help others. We're supposed to be reproducing ourselves in others. So there's more just like us that understand we're not perfect. We're going to mess up. We're going to stumble. We're going to forgive people quick. We're going to not take people for granted. We're going to say, hey, thank you for blessing me more often, because it's okay. That won't hurt anybody. Your kids should hear it all the time, how much you love them, how much they're a blessing to you. Kids, the parents need to hear it regularly. Tell them how much of a good father or mother they are, how much that blesses, and we're so grateful that you're in, that you're my mom or my dad. Don't take it for granted. We all need it. And begin to see your neighborhoods change when you take that ruling and reigning and you do something with it. Because those bags of ruling and reigning are all in your house here. I can't show it in here, but it's in here. And you've got to begin to release it. No, we don't operate in fear. We operate in faith. But we also are smart. Wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
So I challenge each and every one that's viewing, wherever you're at, begin to take authority wherever you're at, because not by accident that you're tuning in. And if you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord and you're wondering how you got on this channel, just say, Jesus, I need you. I'm sick and tired of trying to do it on my own. I can't. I don't want religion. I want a relationship. Yeah. Jesus, amen. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Boom, you get the kingdom within. Amen. Now begin to rule and reign and take authority in Jesus' name. And all of us in agreement said,
amen.
You may stand. Let's get ready to dismiss. Lord, we are your men and women of faith. We are your men and women of valor. And we now, as a body, thank you for hooking me up with my brothers and sisters. I will be quick to encourage my brothers and sisters and tell them that they're a blessing to me. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need special prayer, come, we're praying. Amen.